Good afternoon. I'm going to call the Tax Committee to order if the tape is on. It is on. Okay. Thank you. Welcome to the committee. Members, I know we have a big agenda here today, and we're set to come back tonight if we don't finish. My guess is we won't finish, but it would be nice to get through as much as we possibly can so we're not here really late tonight, if possible. So I'm going to ask Ms. Dalton to talk to us first, and I'm going to ask Mr. Beltrandi to also give the members this spreadsheet. So for everyone, the best way I think we can talk about all these sales tax exemptions, and for people who from the public who may not know, Ms. Dalton is a nonpartisan House tax research person, so she's not with one side or the other here on the agenda. She works in sales taxes for the Minnesota House. And I thought what would be a good thing to do is she's first going to talk to us about, as we look at some of these things, one way to think about these issues, because they're fairly complicated depending on what the committee puts in the omnibus tax bill. And then we'll walk through the spreadsheet of everybody's bills in the room. So we know we have a lot of authors here and a lot of people who are testifying on multiple bills. And what we'd rather do is just look at what they are and then start taking up the authors, and we can ask folks who are in the audience. I know there are police chiefs and people from cities and other folks here, and you can just testify on multiple bills at once if you want, because I know from talking to many of you, you support many of the bills that are on the calendar, and I think that could save a lot of time. So with that, I'm going to ask Ms. Dalton to walk us through a handout that's on everyone's desk that looks like this one first. It's got the two circles. Does everybody have that one over there? Ms. Dalton. So, and if we have any extras, if we can put them in the back, too, for the public. So, Ms. Dalton.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, 10 of the bills that are being heard today relate to the sales tax exemption for local governments that was added for counties and cities last year, and there has been some great confusion in how this applies to sub-entities of counties and cities. And these bills try to address it in a number of ways, but as we were looking at some of the revenue estimates and how even the department is interpreting the correction bills that are being offered today, there seems to be some real confusion about what these sub-entities are and how they interrelate. And so that's what this diagram is actually trying to point out. Cities, counties, and towns include some joint powers and other instrumentalities in their general fund budgets, and those are currently exempt under the exemption that was passed last year. Instrumentalities are entities that perform a governmental function on behalf of and are controlled and funded by a local government. Some of those are already exempt. Some of them are joint powers. Some of them are special districts. Special districts do not have any exemptions under the bill that was passed last year. Joint powers, are an agreement between multiple units of government. They may be part of a city, county, or town, or funding mechanism, or they could be a special district. And if they are a special district, they are not getting the exemption. So some joint powers are getting the exemption right now, some are not. Joint powers also aren't exclusively limited to local governments. They may have members that are the federal government, state government, special taxing districts, and nonprofits. So when you're thinking about which joint powers agreements you want to exempt, you've got to think about how broad or narrow you want to draft that. Finally, special districts are districts that have to report to the state auditor separately. They cannot be reported under somebody else's general fund report. They include some joint powers agreements, some instrumentalities that are not joint powers agreements. Some examples are some of the HRAs and public housing authorities. And then they also include special taxing districts. And those are a unique set of special districts. They are actually listed in the statute. and they have their own funding source. And some of the things that are special taxing districts are the Met Council, watershed districts, hospital districts, things like that. And so as we're going through these bills, I think it's just really important for people to try to figure out what exactly are we trying to exempt under these bills. And we may need to continue to work with the Department of Revenue on the language to actually effectuate everyone's kind of joint decision.
Thank you. And I think for authors, we're not going to quiz authors and testifiers if you can find where you are on this graph, because I think it's very confusing. I think we can see that now, that some it's hard to know what even people are going to be asking for here, and some of the advocates may not know if they are falling under a joint powers that's in a special district, or are they in a different joint powers, or are they, you know, straight up with their city or whatever it is. So just, we're not going to vote on any of these. We're just going to hear them and lay them over. This committee is going to have to decide, you know, what philosophy are we going to have to pick who's going to get these exemptions and not. So if I can now ask Ms. Dalton, and then we'll go to Representative Freeburg's bills, and then Pugh, Poppy, and then Lesh is the order. Can you talk a little bit about what we should know about the spreadsheet? And if there's extras of those, we could put those up for the public, too, which highlights all what's in all these various members' bills. Ms. Dalton.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, this spreadsheet was put together between me and Ms. Templin from fiscal staff. One side of it lists only the bills, the 10 bills that are modifying the local government sales tax exemption, and that's the long side. As you notice, some of the bills we do not have the revenue estimates for at this point. The department got the notice relatively late, and these bills are also being heard in the Senate today as well, but they may have different amendments than we had, so they're just having trouble getting out all of these revenue estimates simultaneously. The other side of this sheet, the first table lists all the other sales tax bills that are being heard today. I would like to make one correction. The very first bill, House File 2119, it says it is a McNamer bill. It is actually an Anderson bill, and I apologize for that. And then the last two bills are two non-sales tax bills that are being heard today, and I will they have no revenue estimate, they have no cost to the state, and I will let Representative Lencheski explain what those are.
And we'll get to those when Representative Davids is here. Those are actually vehicle bills, and we'll talk about what that's for to help our Senate friends along. So we'll talk about that when Representative Davids is here. So with that, thank you so much, Ms. Dalton. Does anyone have any questions for Ms. Dalton on these handouts before we get to the authors? Okay, we're going to just start with Representative Freeburg, and he's got a couple, so come on down. And I think the natural thing to do would just go through these bills with all the authors, lay them over, and then take testimony on all of the bills. So I know you have some testifiers,
yes. But
if I mean, this shouldn't take too long to get through this quickly. And so would someone move Representative Freeburg's first bill, which is 2195? So Representative Carlson moves House File 2195 before the committee. Do you have an amendment on that one?
No, I have one on House File 2422.
Okay, so if you want to just tell us what's in 2195, that would be great.
Sure. Maybe I'll just provide the background
sort
of for both bills
and
explain the differences between them, and then just to save your committee time.
That'd be great.
Okay, sure. This has been an important issue in my district and Representative Carlson's district as well, so thank you for taking the time to hear it. I'm glad Chief Larson from West Metro Fire Rescue District was able to be here today to talk about the important work that they do. West Metro is a joint powers agreement between the cities of Crystal and New Hope to provide fire protection to the two cities, and they do great work. I spent 9 years on a city council and was glad to see the sales tax exemption we provided to cities last year, so thank you for your work on that. I know it's already benefited the cities in the district I represent, but I don't know why the law was drafted to exclude joint powers entities. In my mind, joint powers are examples of local governments operating efficiently. By exempting cities from the sales tax, but not joint powers, in essence, we're penalizing cities for operating efficiently, and I don't think that's right. It's particularly unfortunate in a case like West Metro Fire Rescue. If you ask a regular person what local governments do, chances are the first thing they'll say is provide police and fire protection. So here you have a group of people providing the core service offered by local governments, doing it efficiently and risking their lives in the process, and we're making them pay more than people doing the same thing, which just doesn't make sense to me. So these bills would expand the sales tax exemption to joint powers entities. I introduced House File 2195, the one that's currently being considered after hearing from the Crystal City Manager, and it was intended to encompass three organizations that are important in my district: West Metro Fire Rescue, the Joint Water Commission, which is operated between the cities of Crystal, Golden Valley, and New Hope, and LOGIS, as well as similar entities around the state. I subsequently learned that the League of Minnesota Cities was working on a similar bill, agreed to carry that one as well, and that's House File 2422, and it is a bit broader. It includes things like housing and redevelopment authorities, port authorities, and so forth. I would grab the chart to show you which circle it's in, but I'm sure you don't need that. So those are the two bills, and that's pretty much all I have to say at this point.
Okay, thank you. We're going to lay over the first bill for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill, and now Representative Loeffler moved, because I heard her on the other one at the same time, the second Freeburg bill. Is that right, Representative Loeffler?
That is absolutely correct, Madam Chair.
Okay, so Representative Loeffler moves House File 2422 before the committee. We understand you have an author's amendment.
Yeah, this amendment just clarifies that it encompasses everything within the relevant statute.
Okay, so Representative Loeffler moves the A1. Discussion on the amendment. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed say nay. The amendment is adopted to 2422. Mm-hmm. We're going to lay that over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Okay. And we're going to go to Representative Pugh now. So if you can stay, and we'll start when we get to testimony with Chief Larson first. But first, we'll hear from Representative Pugh.
Oh, you'd like me to stay?
Yeah. If you can stay in the room, that'd be great. It'd be nice to get all the authors' bills just quickly before us and laid over.
At the table or just in the room?
In the room, please, because we're going to take Representative Poppy right after Representative Pugh. So, Representative Pugh, and I know you have a testifier who has to testify this morning and not tonight, too, so we will get to that person. Welcome to the committee.
I do. Thank you very much, Madam Chair and committee members, for hearing this bill. House File 2703 is a bill exempting from sales tax local government purchases made by joint powers entities, and I also have an author's amendment.
Great. So, Representative Mack, did you want to move House File 2703 for Representative Pugh?
I will move that, Madam
okay,
Chair.
Okay. So, Representative Mack is putting the bill before us, and Representative Mack now moves the author's amendment to 2703, which I don't have the number.
Thank you. It's A1.
Okay. So, Representative Mack moves the A1 to get the bill in the form that the author would like it, and Mr. Rubis has it. He's going to give it to Mr. Beltrandi. Unless someone objects, we just generally take people's author's amendments, and we'll vote it on now, and if you want to tell us what it is. So all those in favor of the amendment, say aye. Aye. Opposed, say nay. The A1 is adopted. Representative Pugh, to your amendment.
Yes. Okay. So this amendment changes the effective date to January 1st, 2014, allowing South Lake Minnetonka Police Department and other joint powers entities, such as Southwest Transit, which is also located within my district, to file a refund for taxes paid prior to the law having been fixed. So that's what the amendment does.
Great. Thank
you. Okay. So the 2013 legislation reinstating the sales tax exemption on purchases made by local government entities defined local governments as cities, counties, and townships. The law did not specifically state that joint powers entities were exempt from the sales tax, and the Department of Revenue has concluded that purchases made by those entities are not exempt from the sales tax, even if each member of the joint powers entity is or would itself be exempt. Many legislators, including myself, thought that, of course, the law would apply to purchases made by joint powers entities, especially given that the legislature has encouraged local governments to work cooperatively to save tax dollars, thus providing services more efficiently to its citizens. So under the current law, most purchases by the South Lake Minnetonka Police Department will be subject to the sales tax, while purchases by Minnetonka Police Department, for example, will not. This was clearly not the intention of the legislation, as there's no public policy justification for requiring one police department to pay sales tax when a neighboring department does not. House File 2703 would clarify that purchases by joint powers in type entities are exempt, ensuring that the intent of the legislature was met in ensuring that all taxpayers are treated equally. South Lake Minnetonka Police Chief Brian Litzy is here today to testify in support of the legislation. Madam Chair, if I could ask for clarification, if you would like Chief Litzy to speak now or to wait until these bills are all heard.
I think we'll wait till they're all heard, and our intention here, members, is to get through these first 9, 10, and take public testimony on all of them before our committee is over here today. So we'll be done by 2 o'clock for sure. So is the chief able to be here till 2? It's 1 o'clock. Okay.
Yes.
So we want to get you all back to guarding your cities and not have to come back tonight. So we'll wait
till then. Thank the committee for its consideration.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Pugh. We're going to lay that over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Representative Poppy and Representative Slocum, would you like to move Representative Poppy's 2457?
Madam Chair, so moved.
Okay, so Representative Slocum moves 2457 to be before the committee. Welcome to the committee, Representative Poppy.
Thank you, Madam Chair and members. This is a bill that does add the Housing and Redevelopment Authorities and the Port Authorities to the exemptions under local governments. I do not have a testifier here. This is something that came from my finance director at the city and said, you know, we have an HRA and a Port Authority and they're not being treated as the same as the city. And so the original intent, he thought, was to cover them, and it's not. So I'm just seeking that exemption.
Okay, great. That's great. Questions? If not, we're going to lay this one over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
And the testifiers will be testifying to yours as well, because I know the League of Minnesota Cities is concerned about this provision, these provisions as well.
Thank you.
Representative Lesh, you have 2423, and you have an amendment. And you can do it right sitting there if you prefer. We're all about saving time today.
I'm about that too, Madam Chair. So, yes, the amendment, ably caught by the swashbuckling Pat Dalton, was able to determine that the bill originally did some things that weren't intended to do. So maybe I can have Ms. Dalton explain it.
Great. So Representative Lesh moves House File 2423 to be before the committee, and he now moves the A1. Ms. Dalton.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the amendment, the bill as originally drafted, extended the sales tax exemption to not only the instrumentalities of local governments, but it also extended it to the federal government, to the University of Minnesota and other state colleges and universities. And the construction exemption, which is the primary focus of this bill, was also extended to state roads as well as and federal roads as well as local government roads. So that's it.
Okay.
Those are all removed.
Discussion on the amendment. All those in favor say aye. Aye. Opposed say nay. The amendment's adopted. Representative Lesh.
Thank you. Madam Chair. And if we could, I believe we have a representative here from the League of Minnesota Cities to describe the bill.
We are going to ask them to wait, if that's okay.
Are.
I'm looking right at them. We want to move these first 10 and then let everybody testify on all of them, because a lot of people are supporting a lot of the bills.
Okay,
so thank you, Representative Lesh, and we'll lay that over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Representative McNamer, is he in the room? If not, we'll have someone go get him, but Representative Zerwas is in the room. Welcome to the committee. Could someone move 2532 for Representative Zerwas? Representative Barrett moves House File 2532 to be before the committee. Welcome to the committee.
Well, thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, members of the committee. If people in the room or committee members have rotten fruit or vegetables, they can ready it to throw at me. I carried the bill last year, and we thought joint powers were covered in that language. And as the Department of Revenue kindly told us afterwards, it, according to them, was not. So you can start throwing tomatoes now. So clearly there's an interest in pushing that, in correcting that. But another part of 2532 that I wanted to address is it addresses the language that we had in the bill last year that talked about goods and services generally provided by the private sector. And we listed a few things. And the comments we've received back and the League has received back, the Department of Revenue has taken a very broad vision of that. So our cities and municipalities are being taxed on mowing services for city parks because they feel that open space competes with private campgrounds. And so there's some issues around that we have a list, a defined list, instead of leaving it open-ended. It may not be encompassing of all things, but I think it does a better job of narrowing that a little bit. And so that's the main distinction besides just the JPA and the other fix. And then we have an enactment date of January 1st of this year as well.
Okay, great. And Representative Zerwas, I think many of us know the issue you're raising, and I personally, although I'm interested to hear the department later tell us what they think about the concept of a broad language versus a list, I think you're right. The list is clearer for everybody in interpreting the law, and I think that might be something we'll need to circulate to get folks. If everyone's got a big problem with one or two items on the list, maybe they should be off or some new should be added. It sounds like you're saying the same thing, but we'll be interested to hear what the department thinks about that, but I think that's a good point, and it makes it much better if we can get to that point in the omnibus tax bill to do the list for the things that compete, like golf courses, as opposed to a vague policy statement. Representative Ross.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and I agree with that. I think it leaves a little bit, it tightens it up a little bit, and I think it helps all the communities across Minnesota make sure that we're treating everyone equitably.
Okay, great. And thank you so much for your work on this. We're going to lay this over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill, and we will take testimony on it just in a little bit.
And just one more thing.
Yes, please.
I have to run to another committee, so I won't be available for additional.
We'll throw tomatoes when you leave.
But thank you so much.
Like you said. Okay, thank you. Appreciate your work on this. Thanks so much. Representative McNamer in the room yet? Representative Clark, is she here? Or is it... Representative Swizdinski. Yes, oh, there he is. Welcome to the committee. And we're just going to hear your bill.
Madam Chair.
We're going to hear your bill on this subject, not the next one. Okay? So will someone please move 2607 before the committee? Representative Myra moves House Bill 2607 to be before the committee. Representative Swizdinski, welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members of the Tax Committee. This is 2607 is pretty straightforward. It expands the existing motor vehicle sales tax exemption for road maintenance vehicles, so snow plows, dump trucks, but does not include regular vehicles of vans, trucks, pickups, that sort of thing, to counties and cities, and then special entities described in 6.465 of law. So pretty straightforward, and you know, would appreciate your inclusion into the omnibus bill.
And I think we heard you have a testifier.
Possibly? I do have a testifier.
Okay, so we will get to that person all in time here. So please stay if you're here for Representative Swizdinski bill. Anything else on your bill?
That's it. It's
okay, we're going to lay it over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Thanks so much. So we're just waiting to see if Representative McNamer or Representative Clark walks into the room. If not, we're going to move their bills for them, and we're going to have Ms. Dalton tell us what they are because we are trying to not be here all night tonight. Is that acceptable, Representative Davids? Can we?
So
okay. And members will remember, we did a Garofalo bill, a Hamilton bill, and a Isaacson bill when we were plowing through the B2Bs because they all couldn't get here either, and the committee moved, and we heard their bills for them very quickly. So I guess I'm going to go ahead and do that. So, Ms. Dalton, can you explain to us what House Bill 2247, which is Representative Clark, and I'm going to move it before the committee right now, House Bill 2247. Ms. Dalton?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, Representative Clark's Bill 2247 actually does two things. One thing it does is extends the sales tax exemption for counties and local governments to public housing agencies and HRAs. And, Madam Chair, I have to find the bill summary because I can't remember what the other thing is that it does.
And you know, and while you're doing that, if Representative Clark or McNamer do walk in, I mean, people are in other committees, we'll let them speak to us briefly, but it'd be nice to start the public testimony. That's why I'd rather move them and lay them over. So, Ms. Dalton.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, the second thing that Representative Clark's bill does is it changes the required public housing project payment of 5% of shelter rents to local governments in lieu of property taxes, and instead allows the public housing projects to the option of entering into agreements and negotiating what those payments in lieu should be.
Okay, thank you. There she is. Representative Clark, we are on your bill. Ms. Dalton, we've already moved it. It's before us, and Ms. Dalton has described it to people. Is there anything else you'd like us to know? We're moving them and laying them over, and we're going to take public testimony on the first 10 as a group because there are many people here for the same interest. You want to add anything on House Bill 2247, as Ms. Dalton aptly just described it to us?
Just that it's really an important bill. It really helps with the issue of public housing, and it's one of our major resources, of course, in the state and all over. It'll help our public housing authorities all over there. So,
okay,
we can go forward with it.
Great. Appreciate Thank you so much, and we appreciate you running out of your other committee to get to this committee, and we're going to now lay it over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. So thank you, Representative Clark, and we will be taking testimony on it in a little bit, but feel free to return to where you were working. So we're sorry to drag you out of your room. Thank you. Representative McNamer, we are up to you, and Representative Benson now moves House Bill 1892 to be before the committee. And Representative McNamer, we're just asking people for a couple sentence description, and we're laying them over, and we're going to take public testimony on all of these because they're very similar bills in concept. Representative McNamer to House Bill 1892.
Okay, Madam Chair, I am Representative Jay McNamer. I'm from West District 12A, West Central Minnesota. My bill has to do with sales tax on motor vehicles that are used for road maintenance. Last year we eliminated sales tax for cities and counties, but we still have to pay the sales tax on road maintenance equipment vehicles. Townships have been exempted from this, and we're being asked to have the same exemptions as townships do.
Okay. And we've got, you don't know this, but we have a spreadsheet with everyone's bills, and we've got that on here. You're extending the current road maintenance vehicle exemption to counties and cities. So, okay. Anything else you want us to know? I noticed it's retroactive to January of 14 with a refund.
Right. Okay. It does have a refund.
Okay. Unless there's anything else, we're going to lay your bill over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Thank you. Thank you for leaving your other committee to join us. Okay. Thank you, Representative McNamer. So now we're going to go to public testimony on all of the bills we've just heard. And I want to start with Chief Larson, who was with Representative Freeburg, and whoever Representative Freeburg had, and then we want to go to Representative Pugh's testifier, who is here as well. So welcome, Chief Larson.
Madam Chair, thank you for the opportunity to discuss joint powers. The West Metro Fire Rescue District was formed in 1998 as a joint power fire department for the cities of Crystal and New Hope. It was determined at the time of conception to be in the best interests of the two cities for the health, safety, and welfare of the communities to create and organize a joint fire department to provide effective and economical fire suppression services. Our mission today builds upon the original intent. We value fiscally prudent and efficient services for the communities we serve. This is through response, prevention, and education. The district responds to approximately 1,500 calls for service per year. We do this with a paid-on-call fire department, which means members of the community are the firefighters. They live or work within 4 minutes of a fire station. We also have a full-time staff of 6 administrator responders for the district that cover a lot of the calls during the day. When the district was formed, they were able to decrease the size of our fleet and maintain their ISO rating. ISO rating affects the commercial insurance rates for the community itself. Today, the district has an ISO rating of 3, which is the highest rating in the state that has been achieved, including large cities like Minneapolis and St. Paul, which have full-time fire departments. The formation of the district was made this possible by using joint services from different communities, mutual aid PACs, and by not duplicating services in administration. We are tasked with providing quality yet fiscally prudent services. The district has an annual general operating budget of $1.6 million, and with pension and capital, that increases to $2 million. Our only revenue is from the two cities. We are exempt from sales tax on the purchase of apparatus and personal protective equipment. We do complete maintenance on our buildings and pay utilities. Last year, we spent nearly $7,000 in sales tax. Shared services are important and should be encouraged. in this day and age, not only for quality of service, but also for efficiency. We have joint fire academies. We buy equipment together. We provide mutual and automatic aid to our neighbors. This sales tax exemption is important to our endeavor to provide our services, especially what is essentially a fire department to two cities.
Thank you so much for your testimony, Chief, and appreciate you being here today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Other testifiers on the Freeburg bills and Ms. Pugh, or Representative Pugh, you have it. I don't know who you have. Oh, yes. Please come down. And sure, go ahead. Please.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Doug Carnival, representing the National Waste and Recycling.
You can join him right at the table. Another chair there, so please. Sorry to interrupt you, Mr. Carnival. Sure. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Doug Carnival, representing the National Waste and Recycling Association, new name for an existing organization, used to be the National Solid Waste Management Association. I'm here to talk about the issue that deals with changing the definition of goods and services that are generally provided by the private sector.
Yes.
Needless to say, the waste hauling and disposal industry is very much involved in waste hauling and disposal in the state and does it in many communities. We're here to make sure that the list that gets included, rather than language that says including but not limited to, which is in the current statute with a list, any list that you include waste hauling services. As an example of the situation, for instance, counties have landfills and the private sector has landfills, and those aren't covered in a specific list but are covered by the Department of Revenue when they have put their own list together with respect to what is not exempt. So that's on their list but not your list. So if you're going to compile a list, we would like to make sure that waste hauling or waste disposal and hauling services or waste management services are included in the list. Thank you,
Great.
Madam Chair.
Thank you. I think we understand that issue. Thank you, Mr. Carnival. Welcome to the committee, and thank you for waiting. Nice to see you.
Thank you, Madam Chair and representatives. I didn't need these when I started in the profession, but I do now. So. my name is Brian Litze. I'm chief of the South Lake Minnetonka Police Department, which for the past 40 years has provided quality policing for the cities of Excelsior, Greenwood, Sherwood, and Tonka Bay pursuant to a joint powers agreement authorized under state statute. I believe we're the longest enduring or surviving or whatever joint powers organization of this type in the state. So we have quite a track record and a very successful track record of cities working together to provide joint services. I appreciate having the chance to testify at this hearing on behalf of the South Lake Minnetonka Police Department and other joint powers organizations that were excluded from the legislation passed last year that extended sales tax exemptions to virtually every other political subdivision in the state. There is now an opportunity to correct this oversight by amending Minnesota Statute 297A.70 to include joint powers entities and special districts under the definition of local governments. I believe you have been provided with copies of my letter to Revenue Commissioner Myron Franz and the resolution that was passed by our governing board of the South Lake Minnetonka Police Department. Both these documents make the case for why joint powers entities should be eligible for the sales tax exemption under Minnesota Statute 297A.70. For the sake of time, I won't read into the record the resolution that was passed by our governing board since you have it before you, but I think it really does capture the essence of why I'm here today and why I'm so passionate about this particular issue. And I appreciate Representative Pugh listening to my concerns and bringing this bill forward. So thank you, Representative. I'd also like to highlight an important consideration that perhaps has been overlooked until now. It's been brought up already, or the surface has been touched, but the exclusion of joint powers entities and special districts under this statute has a chilling effect on collaborative efforts between local units of government all over the state. One of the core elements of entering into cooperative agreements is to reduce the cost to taxpayers while providing actually equal or greater service through the pooling of resources and eliminating costly duplication in personnel, equipment, and infrastructure. Cooperative ventures like the South Lake Minnetonka Police Department should be encouraged and rewarded by the state, not discouraged and penalized by legislation that fails to grant the same legitimacy as other political subdivisions in the state. This disparity needs to be addressed sooner rather than later before real damage is done, and cities no longer wish to cooperate in the same way that they have because of these penalties. There's been a groundswell of bipartisan support for this legislation before you that will give joint powers entities and special districts the same consideration as other local units of government. when it comes to Minnesota Statute 297A.70. It is not only the right thing to do, but it will encourage local governments around the state to work together to achieve greater efficiencies. And I know that's one of the commonalities here, is we want better efficiencies so that we can maximize tax dollars. I really appreciate the opportunity to speak here about this important issue. I know that you're very busy, so I'll conclude my remarks with this. But if there's any questions, I'd be happy to take them.
Thank you for your testimony, Chief. Appreciate you making time to be with us today.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Other testifiers on any of these bills? And, of course, we do want to hear from the associations that represent multiple folks of people. Anybody else who would care to say? Yes, please. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members of the committee. My name is Kay Arla, and I am here wearing many different hats today. I am representing AMC, the Association of Minnesota Counties. Under that umbrella, I'm the president of MACAC, the Minnesota Association of Community Corrections Act Counties, and I am also here as the director of Arrowhead Regional Corrections.
Well, thank
you. All of those. I'm here in support of this bill in extending this tax exemption to joint powers entities. MACAC is an association that represents all of the corrections agencies in the state that were formed under the Community Corrections Act. There are 17 of those entities in Minnesota, and together we provide more than 70% of all of the probation services in the state of Minnesota. Of those 17 agencies, seven of them are multi-county agencies, and they represent a total of 22 different counties. I'm the director of one of those multi-agency associations, and that is Arrowhead Regional Corrections. It was formed in 1976 under a joint powers agreement between five counties: Lake County, Cook County, Carlton County, Coochichin County, and St. Louis County. The Community Corrections Act really created incentives for counties to join and collaborate in providing correction services. There were incentives in place, and it has proven to be a very effective model. We have less redundancy, more efficiencies, and we have shared resources. Our concern is, when we were not included in the exemption, we have now a situation where each of our five counties as individuals are tax exempt, but when they sit at the table governing Arrowhead Regional Corrections, that same exemption is not extended to us. The collateral consequence is really creating disincentives for counties to collaborate and work on more efficient service delivery. That is in direct conflict with the intent of the Community Corrections Act. So this is a very high priority for AMC. It is a high priority for MACAC and all of the counties that I work for and represent. It would have a significant positive impact on our budget. It would continue to emphasize the regionalization and cooperation of services. And in the end, it would positively impact the property taxpayers in all of the counties. So I thank you for your consideration in supporting this.
Thank you, Ms. Arlen. Thank you for taking the time to join us at the committee today. Appreciate it very much. Further testimony? Welcome.
Good afternoon. My name is John Matsko. I'm the city engineer with the City of St. Paul and also with the City Engineers Association of Minnesota. I'm here to talk a little bit about support of House File 2423 with the exemption of sales tax on construction projects. Right now, the cities are able to get an exemption for sales tax on materials. However, the process is so cumbersome that it really does not work very well and be very practical. Right now, cities hire general contractors to do everything from road construction, building construction, things like that. And they are currently, the process to claim an exemption on materials is we would have to bid out each material separate from the labor part of the contract. and it creates a number of issues with many contracts to have to administer. It'd be like you adding an addition or remodeling to your home, or you have a plumbing contractor, electrical contractor, a general contractor, concrete, things like that. As a homeowner, you would have to go buy the individual materials from different places, then provide them to the contractor, and then they would install them. Then if in the future, if there's a problem with the roof, for example, you get into conflicts between the contractor indicating that it was a materials issue and the material supplier saying it was an installation issue. So in reality, the cost of administering the exemption as it currently stands is unrealistic. It would actually cost us more to administer it as it is now. And what we're asking for is just that the bill be simplified in this case here, so that we can continue to operate with a general contractor and one person accountable and responsible that goes out through a lump sum bid process, and we get the best possible price for our residents and citizens as we do our work.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your testimony, Mr. Matsko. I think that's one we're, as a committee, all going to have to talk about, because I think it's one of the pricier parts of some of the bills, but I understand the issue you're raising. So.
Thank you.
We appreciate so much you being here. Thank you. Further public testimony. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Ben Mardig, City Administrator of Marshall, Minnesota, speaking in support of House File 2607 in regards to the motor vehicle sales tax exemption that was introduced. I'm sorry, today.
I was just trying to catch your name. Was it Mardig?
Mardig, yes.
Mardig, okay.
Yep.
Welcome.
Thank you. City of Marshall has been deferring the purchase of two major pieces of street maintenance vehicles, about $240,000 worth of purchases. We were thinking they were exempt from the state motor vehicle taxes with the bills that were passed last year. However, we found out that they were not. And so we're looking basically to be treated similar to all the townships surrounding us, as well as the state of Minnesota, that, to receive the exemption for cities and counties from this type of equipment. The impact to us just on these two pieces of equipment are $15,700, roughly. The other thing to keep in mind on our street equipment that we take on, that we utilize for our streets, are being used to maintain streets that are almost entirely built by the City of Marshall residents and taxpayers. So we're not, you know, with the exception of state aid fund roads, which is a much smaller portion of our overall streets that we take care of, that we receive a minimal amount from the state of Minnesota in support of. We're really buying this equipment to take care of our roads, and that's what they're driving on. They're not driving on state roads for the most part either. So I look forward to your support on that. I am testifying on one other bill as well in relation to library exemption. So.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Mr. Mardig. We'll see you back for that one. Further testimony on these first 10 bills. Yes, welcome to the committee. It's amazing how many people got left out when you hear from all of you. Before you testify, Ms. Dalton, can you tell us, with take away the folks who didn't get covered, what percentage do you think of the local units of government did get covered? Are we at 90, 95? I mean, it feels like nobody when you listen to the testimony, but did mostly everybody get covered, and this is a small group, and when you think of the local units of government?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, that's a really difficult question to answer because of the fact that we've never really been able to get a good handle on the amount of joint powers and cooperative agreements out there.
Okay, thank you. Didn't mean to interrupt. Welcome to the committee. Nice to see you. I hadn't thought of Three Rivers as being here at the table, but here you are.
Thank you, nice Madam Chair. My name is Bo Carlson. I'm the Associate Superintendent for Three Rivers Park District. I would just want to speak in favor in regards to agencies or entities that are created under special districts. We are one of them. Mm-hmm. We're a special park district in the state of Minnesota. We represent suburban Hennepin County. That's our taxing district. Our organization is defined under state statute 6.465. We are one of the listed entities. At the same time, we are the only special park district in the state of Minnesota, so we are somewhat unique. We would support any legislation that would include us in the exemption, either for the general fund or sales tax or for capital purchases as it may proceed.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Carlson, and thank you for being here. Further testimony on any of all these local unit of government sales tax exemption bills? Welcome to the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, my name is Brian Gies. I'm the coordinator and engineer for Stevens County. I'm here on behalf of the Association of Minnesota Counties and Minnesota County Engineers Association in support of House File 2423. I'd also like to testify to House File 1982, I believe.
Right. Representative McNamers. Yes.
Representative McNamers.
Thank you.
If I may do both here quickly. With regard to 2423, our issue became as the Department of Revenue started to clarify for counties and other local governments the way that the tax reform bill was going to impact us. It became clear that the intent was to be able to extend that exemption to materials for construction projects. And as testified by a gentleman earlier, the way that that came about was very difficult. It creates several hoops for us. One, we would have to start letting contracts separately. One, where we have a fiscal agent purchase materials separately. It would make us take on a great deal of liability, assuming risk of loss of materials, make sure that delivery was on time, take the assumed risk for defection of materials, and take title of the materials at point of delivery. For those reasons, the bill becomes very troublesome to exempt those materials. And what I understand is this bill will allow us to continue to do business as usual, greatly reduce the number of hoops, and allow us to see that exemption through a refund. In support of that. With regard to 1982, the exemption for motor vehicles, and my materials here. I would like to bring a couple points. First, equity. Stevens County contracts with 14 of our 16 townships for road maintenance services, including snow removal and road grading. Under the existing statute, townships are provided this sales tax exemption when purchasing the equipment to do that work. However, Stevens County is not exempt from paying the sales tax for that same equipment. And this is true for many counties, especially in rural Minnesota, where we provide township services for the townships, and also where counties maintain town roads and that are not under organized township. Second is consistency. Based on the historic tax reform enacted last session that exempted cities and counties from the general sales tax, it makes sense to extend those exemptions for the purchases of major equipment under the same principles. As such, Stevens County and the Association of Counties support House File 1892. Thank you, and I stand for any questions. Yes,
thank you. Was it Mr. Keyes or Mr.
Gies?
Gies. Okay. Thank you for your testimony, Mr. Gies. Appreciate it. Further testimony on any of these bills? And yes, please. And I am going to, after, if there's no one after you folks, I am going to ask Mr. Carlson if he wants to testify, because I think we want to hear the league's thought on all these bills. So please, welcome to the committee. Thank you for being here.
Thank you, Madam Chair, representatives. My name is Bob Boyd. I'm Director of Policy and Special Initiatives for the Minneapolis Public Housing Authority. And with me is Tim DeRose, MPHA's Chief Financial Officer. We are offering testimony today in support of House File 2247, sponsored by Representative Clark. Let me share some things about Minneapolis Public Housing Authority. We last opened our Section 8 waiting list for 2 days in 2008, and we still have 9,000 families on the waiting list. We last opened our public housing family waiting list in 2010, and we still have thousands of people on that waiting list. In our high-rise program, we have limited our waiting list to 1- and 2-person households who are over 50 or disabled, and we have thousands of people on that waiting list. We have suffered tremendous cuts over the years. Over the past 2 years, Minneapolis Public Housing Authority, as all 149 PHAs in Minnesota, has experienced significant losses in revenue from both the cuts from HUD and other local support. For MPHA, this has amounted to millions of dollars less of what we have, which is necessary to provide safe and decent housing for very vulnerable people. Due to sequestration and other federal priorities, MPHA also experienced a $3.9 million shortfall in funds it budgeted for 2013. And in that budget, we had anticipated federal cuts, so this is more than that. In addition, this is $7.9 million less than the agency should have received based on HUD's own formula. These are cuts to our programs, but the real issue is how does that translate to families we serve? MPHA ceased issuing new vouchers as families turned over, meaning no one from our Section 8 waiting list has received a voucher since before January 2012. Other PHAs have taken similar actions. Some have actually rescinded vouchers they have issued. In addition, sequestration forced a very difficult choice for MPHA related to families who are currently on the program. We had to choose between eliminating 500 families or totally reforming our Section 8 program. And in January, we began implementing a program called Rent Reform, and its result is families are being asked to pick up about $2.8 million in costs that had been previously funded by the federal government. And that's about $50 per person, and all these families are very low income. Public housing has eliminated a number of programs. We have utilized reserves to help fund our operations, and we reduced staffing by 31 FTEs. We also reduced our security budget by over 50%, leaving elderly and disabled residents at a time in their lives when they are feeling most vulnerable to feel less secure. MPHA has also deferred an additional $1.5 million in NIDA capital work due to the government's most recent cuts. Currently, our agency estimates that we have over $200 million in capital cost needs over the next 10 years, and we receive about $10 million a year from HUD to cover those needs. PHAs from across the state are experiencing same and similar challenges. The reductions are difficult from an operations standpoint, but what it really means is reduced services and increased risk for the 21,000 low-income people we serve. And just kind of as a primary example, on December 2nd, through our email, our executive director received the following email: my mom and I are living in the woods in a tent. We have SSI and GA. Funding from HUD, which has been as low as 82% of what says is needed to operate public housing, has resulted in losses of millions of dollars to fund and support low-income and vulnerable families in the state of Minnesota. In addition, funding for Section 8 is at a less percentage than that. These cuts leave us with little or nothing to offer to this mother and daughter. We could not offer them anything but referrals to places that are also experiencing cuts and an opportunity to apply on a waiting list that would not meet her immediate needs. The weather following in that week following was sub-zero, and we have no idea what happened to that woman and her daughter. So what are we asking? Two things. We're asking the Minnesota legislature to provide a measure of relief, and that's include all public housing authorities in the sales tax exemption that was approved for many other units of government. And in addition, we're asking that the legislature revise the payment in lieu of taxes statute to allow PHAs to work with local governing authority to reduce pilot from the state minimum required, which I think your analyst pointed out is 5%. And finally, I put this in perspective, that same week where the woman emailed us about living in a tent in the woods near Minneapolis, there was a program on one of the local news stations that talked about dogs out in the cold. And that program got lots of calls from people offering to house the dogs. We got no calls from people offering to house this family. So this is a little bit of money, but it makes a huge difference in our ability to serve people. And that's what we want to leave you with as you ponder these changes. Okay. Thank you. And if you have questions, we're ready to answer.
Okay, thank you. And was it Mr. Boyd?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you so much for your testimony and for being here. Mr. DeRose, did you want to add anything, or are you just here for questions? Or?
Madam Chair, Representatives, I'm here to support my colleague.
Okay, great. Thank you. And we may have questions when we get through all the public testimony. Thank you for being here. Appreciate it so much. Further testimony on any of these sales tax exemption bills for local units and joint powers and various folks here. Great. Mr. Carlson, a lot of bills here, and I know your group has worked on many of them. So a substantive maybe set of comments on, you know, what you're looking at going forward with all these bills. And Mr. Carlson.
Madam Chair, members, my name is Gary Carlson. I'm with the League of Minnesota Cities. As you can tell by the volume of bills introduced, this has become a big issue for a lot of our cities and counties. I should say I spoke to AMC and MICA. They also share some of the same concerns and have heard from their county commissioners, just as I've heard from my city council members and mayors, that this is a big issue. We've worked with many of these legislators to introduce these bills, and I think you can see there's a common theme about joint powers. We clearly have four or five bills that would exempt joint powers. We have the League's bill that Representative Freiberg is carrying, 2422, tries to carve out a broader set of local government entities and subdivisions and instrumentalities that were exempt prior to 1992, when the exemption previously existed for cities and counties. We support all of these bills. We think these are very important clarifications in the sales tax exemption that was enacted last year, and this would make the value of the sales tax exemption more pronounced for our members and their operations. We also strongly support the bills by Representatives McNamer and Swidzinski. Sorry, I always struggle with his name.
Chris.
He gave you the thumbs up.
Yes,
there.
And that has become a big issue as well, that we buy these vehicles to maintain the roads, these road construction vehicles and snowplows, and yet we pay a sales tax to the motor vehicle on the motor vehicle itself in order to have the luxury of plowing the roads. So we think that that is a very important exemption to clarify. Let me say one other thing. Representative Lesher's bill is a little different from the other bills. The other bills, I think, are all clarifications. The issue that is identified in Representative Lesch's bill actually is something that we were surprised has existed for quite a long time. The construction material exemption has had a long, cumbersome process, and we first got wind of this from some of our city engineers, but the first thing we did was we went to school districts, and we found out that many school districts, when they build their buildings, are just not taking advantage of the exemption because of the cumbersome process. Mm-hmm. So that is actually something that was brought to our attention by the schools. It also now affects cities and counties because they are generally exempt. We think that that would be a very good unsession bill to clarify and simplify that process on purchasing materials used in construction contracts. So we support all of these. We think they're good advancements and clarifications in state law.
Great. Thank you so much for your testimony. And thanks to everyone who came to talk to us about this. It is, I think, at least my intent, and we'll be working in the committee to see if we can't do, you know, some clarification to what extent, to how large this, the target is for this committee to do them all. That'll come into play just how much money we have to spend on these tax cuts. So I appreciate it, and we'll be talking with many of you, and thank you for all your work on this. Really appreciate it. Thank you. Representative Davids, I was waiting before for you to come in, and I do want to, I think we could potentially get through all these bills and not come back tonight at the rate we're going here.
Do it.
So I think we should, and I want to, but Representative Davids, there's two bills on the calendar that I just want to not be cagey about and tell you what they are and tell everybody what they are. I am the author of both of them, and Senator Skoy is the author in the Senate. So I think you can guess they are simply vehicle bills, members. So I was hoping the committee could vote these to the floor. We can get Ms. Templin to tell us for the record that there's not a cost to them. One of them is the policy bill for the Department of Revenue, and we already heard that, and my intention would be to put the department's policy bill in the omnibus tax bill. And the other is, does the technical clarifying language on the LGA fix and the PILT fix that were errors that I'm sure you're aware of in bills. The reason I want to move these as vehicles is we don't know what the Senate's going to do with federal conformity and the B2Bs. And I think we need to get the House in a position, depending on what comes over and how we might all feel about that, to be prepared to take further action, I guess is what I would say. And I'm wondering if you could support where we wouldn't have to have a big debate about these, we'd just move them to the general register. And my intent would be we wouldn't take them up if, other than for vehicles for a tax bill if we needed to.
Well, Madam Chair, I have never underestimated your sneakiness.
right into the microphone.
Right. You're much more transparent on that particular issue than I ever was. or would pretend to be. Unless there's objections from my caucus, I think it's a very wise move and would certainly support it, unless I hear differently. I think it's a very good idea.
Okay, and if we could do that, again, it would just be just in case we need them. It would be we'd get them to the general register, and we'll wait and see what the Senate does on federal conformity and B2B, and then we'd have some tools available to everybody in the House, depending on what happens. So hopefully they'll just concur with us, and we'll be done.
Yeah.
But if they don't, it'd be nice to have a vehicle.
Madam Chair, I think that's a very good idea.
Okay. Representative Anderson.
Well, Madam Chair, just out of curiosity, I mean, what has the Senate said so far? I mean, what is their plan? I heard via one of the reporters that they're not going to have a hearing until March 18th.
I different senators say different things, obviously, but I have, I know Senator Scoia is hearing federal conformity on the 18th. That's right. They have a number of bills. They've already heard B2B, so they did that in Senator Rest Committee. I see progress there, and I think they're working on things, but because we don't know and because people are filing their taxes, I think the House is better positioned to at least have a vehicle at its disposal or two in case we need them. And it wouldn't be, that was a bill most all of us voted for, so I wouldn't, intend to use it, but for that, that would be my intention. So if that's okay with everyone, then I'm going to just go ahead and move House File 2789 to the General Register, to take it off the table and move it to the General Register. This is the department's policy bill. The intent would be to carry the department's policy issues in the omnibus tax bill, not here. I'm sorry, that's the LGA one. This is, and can we just quickly have Ms. Dalton tell us what that LGA bill was? But again, we would do a delete all amendment on the floor. It's currently a zero bill. We've talked to Representative Carlson, so it wouldn't have to go through Ways and Means. But Ms. Dalton, can you just tell us what it is?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, and the description that's on the summary sheet is just wrong. It is just a technical correction on PILT and LGA payments. The PILT correction was in a department bill, and the LGA payment correction was in Representative Lean's bill, which was heard in Property Tax Division.
Okay, Ms. Templin, maybe you can nod. There's no cost to this bill. No cost. Okay.
Don't even need it.
Okay, so that's House File 2789. Which one did I say? 2789 to the General Register. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. The bill is sent to the register, and then the next one I'll move is House File 2277 to take it off the table and move it to the general register. Again, this is the department's bill, which, of course, they asked me right when I came in the room, what are you doing with this bill? And I explained to them, too. Ms. Templin, can you nod and let us know if there is a cost? We understand there's no cost to this bill. Okay, so this is a zero bill as well. So this is now re-referred. The motion is to the general register. Discussion. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. The bill has been moved to the general register. And let's hope we don't have to use either one of them, I guess, would be my hope. So we'll see. And thank you so much, Representative Davids. And we'll continue to work together to see if we can't achieve the tax relief we're all working for here. With that, we now have Representative Anderson, who was sitting there. I don't see him now. Maybe he'll be coming back. If not, we can go to Representative Swadzinski, and then we'll come back to Anderson when he comes back in the room. And I think we can get through these five bills in time to not have to come back tonight. Representative Swadzinski, Representative Drazkowski, if it's all right, will move House File 2709. Is that okay?
I do, Madam Chair.
Okay,
thank you.
So the bill is before the committee. Did you have an amendment on this one?
Yes, I do. It's
okay.
The A1 amendment.
So Representative Drazkowski moves the A1 to get the bill in the order the author would like it. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed say nay. The amendment's adopted. Representative Swadzinski, to your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. 2709 is a pretty straightforward bill. We've got a unique situation in my city of Marshall, that has had the opportunity to have a large portion, actually the greatest portion of a library project, a children's wing, to be donated to the city. It's a joint, it's owned by the city and the county. And just to give you some history on some libraries, Andrew Carnegie built over 1,700 libraries throughout the U.S. From the late 1800s until 1929. And for every single one of those libraries, not a single one of them paid sales taxes to be built. And that happens to be because sales taxes were first enacted in 1930. and that's what this would do. We have a company that's willing to do the labor and buy the materials, and we simply want an exemption for that particularly because of the complexity and the cumbersomeness of the bidding process and all that. And first and foremost, it keeps, you know, this is a neat bill because we're not doing a bonding project for it. This is because it's being donated, so the state is not being asked for bonding cash, but it is looking for some sales tax exemption. So with that, I do have a couple of a testifier here that would love to speak about it and answer questions.
So Mr. Marchick is here. And can I just ask quickly, so I'm looking at the spreadsheet. The price tag for the sales tax exemption is $47,000. Doesn't that fall in our negligible level these days? I don't, you know, we usually can do negligible bills and not let the Ways and Means Chair notice them, but just thought I'd bring that up. Is that right? $47,000 is the price tag?
Well, it's about approximately that the amendment we put forward is going to give us a with that clarification, we'll get a clear number, but it's going to be between 47 and 60, 70, something like that.
Okay, also. Great. Thank you for that. Mr. Martig, welcome, or thank you to have you back here for this
Thank you. Ben Martig, City Administrator, Marshall, Minnesota. Again, thank you for Madam Chair, members of the committee. This project, Robert L. Carr, successful contractor, real estate developer within Marshall and the region, is looking to create a legacy in the community. He actually built the first phase of the building. If I have the image there for you. So the main building is already built, completed in 2012. He was a major donor, I believe, over $1 million he donated on that first phase. He actually had to bid publicly to try and get the work on the first one, which he got, included his donation with that. The second time around, Mr. Carr said, you know, we had to cut back on the children's wing because we couldn't get the full thing funded with our community support. This time around, I want to give a gift to the community to build it all on our behalf and then turn it over to the city and the county for operating with that. The only thing that we're looking at doing, which the council's taking action on this tonight if we get back, and the county next week would be some of the furnishings and equipment that would go in there. So if this were going under the process where the library were building it and competitively bidding it, it would be eligible for exemption. A unique situation where the individual is actually building it all himself and turning it over to us. So the taxpayers, the public bidding portion of that and the benefit of the exemption in our mind really should be granted to them because there is no impact to the taxpayers for the building. So a wonderful gift to our community, to the region that the library serves, and we hope that you could see a support for this bill. Thank you.
Thank you so much for your testimony. And thank you, Representative Swazinski. We're going to lay this over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Thanks so much. And is Representative Anderson here? Still not. Representative Nornes. Been very patient. And let's see, would someone move Representative Nornes's bill?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Okay, so Representative David has moved your bill, Representative Nornes, and it's before the committee. Welcome to the committee.
Thank you very much for hearing this bill, and I'm impressed by the efficiency of your committee.
It's not usually like this.
So, well, I enjoyed it. This bill was brought to me by some farmers that live in my area near my district. What it does is provides a sales tax exemption for drain tile or drainage tile systems that are installed to improve the productivity of our land, agricultural land, and this would only apply to farmers or contractors. It would not apply to residential or other type installation, so strictly agricultural use. So that's
okay.
It.
Great. Thank you. No, I think it's very clear. Is there anyone who wants to testify for or against this bill? Okay, if not, are there questions, members? I think this one's pretty clear how you've got it laid out. Anyone else? Nope. Okay, well, we're going to lay it over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Thank you, Representative Nornes, for waiting. Representative Davids, you have one. And if you want to save the time and do it right there, that'd be good.
Yep. Madam Chair, I'll move House File 2436.
Okay, so 2436 is before the committee. Representative Davids.
Yes, this is a bill that would provide a sales tax exemption for not-for-profit snowmobile clubs. We have a situation where if you're in a ski area and you buy a groomer, there's no sales tax, but yet out in rural Minnesota where we have a lot of snowmobile clubs that put thousands of miles of trails, I should say probably thousands, a lot of miles of trails. When they buy a groomer, they have to pay a sales tax. Now, they could get around by buying a big John Deere or Case IH or something like that and then pulling a groomer because they wouldn't have to pay sales tax on the tractor because it's primarily for agricultural use. Yet, for some reason, most of the time, everything's for agricultural use on where I live. And so that's what this would do. I do have some folks who would testify. I think it's pretty straightforward.
Great. Yes, please.
Mr. Franzen.
Thank you. Thank you for being here. You're going to tell us why you would like the sales tax exemption for snowmobile, nonprofit snowmobile clubs. Welcome
Madam
to the
Chairman,
committee.
Members of the committee, my name is Doug Franz, and I'm representing the Minnesota United Snowmobilers Association.
Great.
And that's, Madam Chair, exactly what I'm going to tell you is why you should support this bill. Because the snowmobile infrastructure, over 22,000 miles of snowmobile trails in Minnesota, it generates in excess of $125 million annually in direct economic activity to the state, all of which is taxable. The state spends approximately, according to the fiscal note, about $8 million a year to assist these snowmobile trails. So that's a pretty good return on investment. The only reason it's possible is through the volunteerism. The system is constructed by volunteer landowners who, with no compensation, permit snowmobilers across their land. And also, the people who actually develop and maintain these trails are volunteers. Now, this $8 million in current time that's in the revenue projection has actually been cut down to just over $7 million. The snowmobile fund has been in a structural deficit for the last 2 years. We're really hostage of the weather. And I will admit, Madam Chair, we do like the kind of weather we've had this winter. We've had a good year. So, but all of that money is user fees. So the snowmobilers pay the money, and they develop this for no compensation. The landowners donate this, and there's great economic benefit to the state of Minnesota. All of these trails are open not only to Minnesotans, but to tourists. And as the birthplace of snowmobiling, I think we have the finest snowmobile trail system in the country and in North America. And that is only possible because they're groomed. If any of you have been on a snowmobile, you will know an ungroomed trail is a disaster. It's very hard on the back. And I am not a groomer. I don't know what it takes to drive one of those. I do know my colleague here does drive a groomer. I'm glad we're not meeting tonight because he had to go back and actually repair a groomer so he could get going again tomorrow on it. So, Kim, could I turn it over to you?
Yes,
unless
please.
There's questions,
nope.
Madam Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Franz, and welcome to the committee.
Thank you. My name is Kim Workmeister. Like I said, I'm a
Workmeister.
Workmeister. Yeah.
Okay, first groomer I've met. Welcome to the committee, Mr. Workmeister.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming, really.
Yes, I'm a member of the Shakopee Snowmobile Club, also Scott County Snow Trails, which is the grooming organization.
Okay.
And I'm one of, in our club, we have five grooming routes. We have about nine drivers assigned to this. We're all volunteers. And my primary route is the Minnesota Valley Trail, which is the state trail from Shakopee down to Belle Plaine. We groom that usually one time for sure a week, and sometimes touch up because it gets so much traffic. We do our drivers are all volunteers, mostly working people or retired people like me. And my route typically is about a 6-hour run. We try to do it either late at night or early in the morning, so we're out there when there is no traffic of snowmobiles, because the snow is kind of like concrete. It needs a couple hours to set up after you groom it. And if it gets those couple hours, then it usually lasts through the weekend. So the grooming equipment is obviously the most important part of this, and it's a continual battle. It's hard on the equipment because we're out there bouncing off of trees and cutting down ice chunks and all kinds of stuff. So there's some wear and tear, and the life cycle on the groomers is, you know, maybe 10 years at the most. And so in our organization, we have three of them, and we support about 250 miles of trail. So it gets to be a lot of grooming hours. We probably, every week our club runs about, gets to be a lot of grooming hours. We probably, every week our club runs about 30 hours. And then you multiply that by the other four clubs are doing about the same. So there's a lot of time put in by volunteers to keep trails good. And obviously the better equipment we have, the better it goes and the less personal time we have to put in fixing them if we can keep a good working groomer. So other than that, any questions about the details of what we're doing? Or
We really appreciate your volunteerism. We're all benefiting from it, so thank you.
It's interesting when it's midnight out there and something breaks. But
well, thank you so much for being here, and thank you, Mr. Franzen, for being here. Representative Davids.
Yes, thank you, Madam Chair. And as you know, I've been known throughout the years for my grooming. And I'd also like to just say that if you, when it says on the House Research Bill summary, Davids and others, please look at who the others are, and I think we should support them.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you for coming. We're going to lay this bill over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Thanks so much, Representative Anderson. Welcome, and we are going to finish your bill and Representative Quam's by 2:00. So you got. You know, we're moving right along here. So I know you sat there for so long, and then right when you left, that's when. So would someone like to move Representative Anderson's bill for him? It's 2119. Representative Anderson moves House Bill 2119 to be before the committee. Welcome to the committee.
Thanks, Madam Chair and committee members. Just had to leave for a couple minutes, and sorry I missed you. This bill was brought to my attention by a business back home. A common sense thing he said, they're going to do a major expansion this spring and summer in the heavy construction season coming up. And he thought to move the date up a couple of months. I don't know the reason for the September 1st date for the changing of how capital sales tax is done, but move it up a couple of months to the new fiscal year, save the state the hassle of processing these for a couple of months. It would help the businesses get that refund without paying for it. It was just a common sense thing brought forth by a businessman who wanted to see it in a common sense way. So.
Okay. No, I think this committee is very aware of this exemption. It's been, I think, pretty widely supported bipartisanly, and this is a portion. It's a couple months. I think the whole shebang, if you did the whole thing, is in the hundreds of millions price tag, but you've got a smaller version of that. I see it's a $13.5 million exemption, and it's good policy. I think kind of everyone here agrees. It's just we've never quite gotten to paying for it on either side of the aisle here. So
I don't totally understand, Madam Chair, the fiscal note. This just moves it up a couple of months.
It's a timing event. Ms. Dalton, did you want to mention, or Ms. Templin? Ms. Templin, will you kind of explain why this is a 13.5 for moving in a few months? And you know, ideally, we'd like to get rid of this completely where people don't even have to do this, but it's a budgetary item. Ms. Dalton, or Ms. Templin.
Madam Chair, Cynthia Templin, House Fiscal Staff. Yes, the revenue estimate that you see scores this proposal to have a $13.5 million cost in fiscal 15. That is because you're moving up the effective date by 2 months from August to July. And then in the tails, you see there is a revenue gain. And the reason why there is a revenue gain in the tails of 12 million is because the state would be paying less refunds now that you've moved up the effective dates. So that is why you see what you do on the revenue estimate. It's a time shift of the moving to the upfront exemption sooner, and then there's less refunds in the tails being paid out by the state.
Okay. That makes sense. Okay, so it's made up for in the tails. Gotcha. Okay, thank you, Ms. Templin. Is there public testimony on this bill? If not, we're going to just lay this over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Thank you, Representative Anderson,
thank
for
you.
Waiting. Appreciate it so much. At least you don't have to come back tonight. Representative Quam. Would someone like to move that bill? Representative
Madam
Runbeck.
Chair,
yes.
We'll move the bill.
Okay, so Representative Runbeck has moved House File 2452 to be before the committee. Representative Quam, nice to see you again.
Good to see you. Thank you, Madam Chair. This just adds biomass to the existing list of home fuel and other things exempted from sales tax.
So that's
any questions?
Yes, Representative Quam, that's going to be, I'm surprised that the price on that one is as high as it is. Is there a lot of people using biomass?
Madam Chair, I think there's a anticipation with the propane and other issues where people want to have an option, and this allows them an option.
Okay.
And they must be seeing a broadening of this, I guess, option that's homegrown,
okay.
Unlike other bills that are promoting homegrown things.
Okay. Okay. Is there public testimony on this piece of legislation?
Madam Chair,
yes, please.
A real quick question. We don't have any
sheet on the fiscal note?
It's got it.
Oh, there.
It's on here. A few of them, the department wasn't ready to, or didn't get them quite done because it's my fault because I posted so many bills all at once. But the good thing is all of these we're just laying over, and as we go to mark up the omnibus tax bill, we'll have hard revenue estimates on every single bill by then. Great, so, thanks. Ms. Schill, please.
Madam
She's
Chair,
got some information
members,
for us.
This came through probably about 5 minutes before the committee, and I have it right here. We can have it copied and sent to you.
Sounds great. Mm-hmm. Thank you so much. And I the department is doing a great job here, so we've put them through a busy couple weeks, and we're still doing that, so we didn't quite have it, but we will get that then to everybody. So thanks so much. Any testimony for or against this bill? Other questions? If not, we're going to lay this over for possible inclusion in the omnibus tax bill. Thank you so much, Representative Quam, for waiting.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
And Representative Simonson, would you be willing to move the minutes?
So moved, Madam Chair.
Okay, so the minutes are before us. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those say nay. The minutes are adopted, and I'm going to quickly into the record read a referral list of the bills that need to go down to Property Tax Division. They are House File 2929, 2886, 2855, 2807, 2784, 2782, 2771, 2758, 2739, 2730, 2727, and 2726, and we are adjourned. Thank you.